Tonight, we interview Matthew Clark about why you can't die in the upcoming Prince of Persia, and we give our opinions on Geometry Wars 2 and Civilization Revolution. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwolf Show, week of August 3rd, 2008. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt.
And it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Catalarm, kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at DragonCon 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
My cat is already screaming from the other side of the door. She usually waits until the end of the show to do that. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news about the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. If you are joining us live here on All Games Radio, head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com. I'll be reading comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, I will be opening up my Skype line and my toll-free number. Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word, and toll-free in the United States and Canada, 1-866-880-0156. If you're listening to us on the podcast feed, blackwolf@allgames.com is my email. And I'd usually say you could leave a voicemail, but I need to actually resubscribe to the voicemail service in Skype. So I haven't done that yet, so I don't know if this voicemail is going to work. But you can leave me an email, blackwolf@allgames.com. Some of the stuff that I wanted to talk about last week, obviously last week was a big music game thing, so we're going to try not to talk about music games this time around. But right before I left for E3, I detailed my PlayStation 3 saga. Essentially what happened is my PlayStation 3 broke. It didn't, you know, red light or whatever the PlayStation 3 term is. It's still turned on. But what I think happened is because I have been such a good person for humanity in that I have been running Folding at Home pretty much 24/7 unless there's been like a big thunderstorm in the area. Since Folding at Home came out, I've been trying to help cure cancer. And I've led our team, the All Games Radio team. I'm like in the top 10,000 or something of all of the million users, and our team's like in the top 1,000 of all 100,000 teams or whatever. Essentially what wound up happening is I think my fans died inside the PlayStation 3, which causes the components inside to overheat because the fans aren't going to work anymore and not going to help evacuate the heat. When I got back from E3, essentially what wound up happening was I wouldn't even be able to do stuff for longer than 2 minutes on the XMB before my video would freeze up and pictures would start not working, and all that stuff. So finally I decided it was time to send it in. It was a launch day. It was a 60 gigabyte with full backwards compatibility, and I wanted to have that one back. So I called up, and it winds up it's $150 since it's way out of warranty. It was a launch day system, so it's completely out of warranty. But I have gotten reassurances that I will be getting a 60 gigabyte full backwards compatibility back. They even mentioned the model number, the CECHA01. They mentioned the model number in the emails that that's the system I'm going to be receiving back, which is kind of backwards that I actually want an older system, whereas with like the Xbox 360, I'd actually want a newer system. So anyway, they shipped me, I called them like Tuesday after I got back from E3, and they sent me 3-day select, a UPS box, which came Friday night about 30 minutes before the UPS store closed. So I hurriedly put it in there, put my PS3 in there, packed it up, and found the UPS store that was open till 7, and sent it off, which was actually sent back to them next day air, which was kind of nice. It wasn't sent 3-day select via UPS. Then they got it and then said that there was some issue with my credit card and I needed to call them. And so I called them and they said, oh, you got that email in error. And Thursday afternoon, they sent out a new PS3, a new 60 gigabyte, fully backwards compatible PS3. And the UPS tracking says it's going to get here Tuesday night, probably at about 6:15, 6:30. So all in all, it's going to take 2 weeks because I called them on a Tuesday, and I'm going to be getting it two weeks later on Tuesday. So it's a two-week turnaround process. I lost $150, but it's better than paying $400 for a system that actually doesn't do everything my original PS3 did. So sucks that it wasn't covered in warranty and they wouldn't do it for free, but at least I'm going to still be able to play my games, most of the games that I played on it, which is good because I'm going to be getting Soul Calibur 4 for the PlayStation 3, much to some people's chagrin. Soul Calibur 4 came out this week. I know a lot of people who have played it for the Xbox 360, and actually there was kind of an interesting story. A friend of mine here locally was in Best Buy on Monday, and they had already put Soul Calibur 4 on the shelf. So he went up, he picked it up and went all the way to the register and got to the register, and a manager came up and ripped it out of his hands and, you know, yelled at him saying, "We can't sell you this yet," and kind of, you know, got all pissy with my friend and, you know, called at the back, pull Soul Calibur and stuff. But they ripped it out of his hands as he was at the register about to pay for it. And I mean, you know, part of me is like, you know, I have no problem with the fact that they pulled the game, because obviously if they break street date, then they get in a lot of trouble with the with the game companies and the distributors and all that stuff. But it's not the customer's fault that you put the game out on the shelf and let him take it up to the register. No, don't do that, Best Buy. So I almost played it Monday night, but I have not played it. I know a lot of people have, and I've heard that people like it, and I've heard that people don't like it. Tiger Claw asks, so Black Wolf, does this mean no more folding at home for you after you receive the new one back? And that is correct. I may run folding at home if I need to recharge a controller. I will run it overnight, and then I will shut it off. And even then, probably only in the winter months when my apartment is colder. But I do think that my cancer curing has come to an end. Cancer has won, and I will not be attempting to cure it anymore. ActDev says, Bobby, just game over folding at home. Cancer wins. Pen15 says, yes, us 360 gamers are playing it and laughing at you. But I've been playing other games. And some of these other games I've been playing, Civilization Revolution. This is actually a game that came out before E3. And I waited until after I got back so I could spend time with it. And unfortunately, one of the interesting things about the community at All Games is that we'll play, the community will like play a game for like a week or two and then move on. And so it's really sad that it's a very expensive community to keep up with. So unfortunately, I have not been able to play an online game of Civilization Revolution yet. But I am a big fan of turn-based strategy. I love the Civilization series. It's one of the few PC games that I will play. I still play Civilization 4 every once in a while when I have a free 8 hours all at once. So I was really intrigued by Civilization Revolution. I played the demo, and actually it was a very meaty demo, 45 minutes. And I liked it, and so I wanted to try it, the full version. So I did pick up the full version, and on the same night that I sent my PS3 out, actually. So I picked up the full version, and it's pretty good. I mean, it basically encapsulates the entire Civilization experience down to something that you don't mind sitting on a couch and playing on your big screen TV. Now, granted, the games will still go on for several hours, but not the 8 or 9 monolithic games that you'll find on the PC version. They've taken out a lot of the stuff like the micromanagement. You don't have to micromanage workers anymore. That's one of the big things. And they took out some of the intricacies of the diplomacy. Pretty much diplomacy is, give me something or I attack you. And that's pretty much diplomacy. It's basically, you know, I'm going to call you nice doggy until I find a big stick, which is pretty much what diplomacy in real life is. But there's some of the things that you can do in the Civilization PC game that I think wish I could have done in Civilization Revolution. One thing is you can actually do trade resources and stuff to kind of help with if you've got a resource problem, you can actually trade via a road. They do have caravans in the game, but all it does is give you gold. The main thing that I think is missing from Civilization Revolution than from any of the previous Civilization is a thing called the Open Borders Treaty. What the Open Borders Treaty is you and I like each other, and I can go through your land to get somewhere else. And there is no open borders treaty. So if you have to get somewhere, and there is another country there, you have to declare war on them just to get through. That kind of makes it hard to strategize kind of the same way that you would strategize on the PC version. It creates all new strategies, and, you know, one time I did, I saw, like, there was, like, an artifact up, and the Americans actually were in the way, and I had my little boat, and I couldn't get by because they owned the shallow water. They had their influence there. So I declared war on the Americans just long enough to go up and get the artifact and get back down, and then I paid them some money and signed a peace treaty, which meant that I would not attack them anymore. But I think the Open Borders Treaty, I don't think that would have been too complicated to bring the Civilization audience. Now, I think they did a really good job on it. I mean, these are little nitpicks from somebody who's played Civilization a lot. It's a lot easier for someone to pick up and play, and it's a good gateway drug to Civilization 4. So if you like Civilization Revolution, if you've never played the PC games, you may want to give them a try. You know, I will say that they are on GameTap. Civilization 4 and its expansion, I believe, are both on GameTap right now. So you can actually try it if you have a GameTap subscription. So Civilization Revolution, if you're into real-time strategy games and you're looking for one that's maybe not as heavy as the ones you'd play on the PC but still pretty meaty, this game gets an A, and I think you should really, really check it out. I have not been able to play an online battle yet. But I do know some people that do want to nuke me off the face of the planet. Buckfush187 says, I actually bugged that. They said it was a design choice. And it's a design choice I do not agree with. So another game that I've been playing, this game actually came out this week, Geometry Wars Retro Evolved 2. And I saw that, you know, that this game was coming out. And obviously it wasn't at E3 because it's an Activision product now. I saw that it was coming out, and it was going to be 800 points. It's going to be $10. And I said, you know what? The original was $5. What can they add to make it worth a $10 game? Go buy this, because they've added a lot. Basically, they've got the Geometry Wars, the regular evolved gameplay. That's one of six modes, and it's actually the third mode. They have several new modes. One of which is you have 3 minutes to get as many points as possible. You have unlimited lives, which is cool. And then they've got one where you can only fire within certain zones that decay over time. There's one where there's just waves of enemies coming from the side of the screen, and you have to try to kill them all without them killing you. And then there's like a puzzle mode called Sequence, where they have set patterns, and you have to learn the patterns to try to get the level cleared within 30 seconds. So those are the main game types that a lot of people aren't talking about. The sixth game type, which is actually number four on the list, it's called pacifism. And I have a love-hate relationship with pacifism. If you remember Geometry Wars Retro Evolved, they had an achievement, which was called pacifist. Basically, you had to survive 60 seconds without firing. And a lot of people said that was their favorite achievement back in the early days of the Xbox 360, because it was something that wasn't really a part of the game, but it was a challenge. It was something you had to actually go achieve. So they created an entire mode around pacifism. Basically, you have your little ship, and there's these gates that go around, and then little blue parallelograms. They're not triangles. They've got four sides, but they're not squares either. The diamonds, the blue diamonds or whatever. They just basically come out, and the only way you can kill them is if you go through the middle of one of these gates. Now, these gates, the ends kill you, and then they also turn and twist, and, you know, they rotate and move as you're going through, and you can't hit the edges because the edges kill you, and they only really kill the things that are immediately around it. So I have a love-hate relationship with this because I did play it for quite some time, and unfortunately I have not come anywhere close to Sky from Orange Lounge Radio's score. I think I'm half of what he's got right now. And I go between it's broken, the game mode is broken, and the game mode is brilliant. What I don't like is that most of the time in Geometry Wars, it's like one of the classic arcade games, classic shoot-em-ups, where there's a pattern to everything. Every little piece of geometry actually has a specific pattern. except the gates. I thoroughly believe that the gates in Geometry Wars are random. And when I say random, I mean they're using the random number generator to generate where they go and what they do at every second. There is no pattern. The pattern is, we're going to check the random number generator and see what we should do next, because they'll change direction for no reason. They'll change the way that they're spinning for no reason. They'll appear randomly, usually right up next to a wall where you can't even use them without dying yourself. And you only get one life in this. So once you hit a side, or the game's over. You start back from the beginning. There's no second life. There's no continue. It's just, okay, you died. This is your score. You know, play from the beginning. And I kind of wish there was some kind of pattern at least I could get used to with them. And, you know, I have been able to achieve a decent score. I think it's like 6 million is what it is right now. But that was luck. Most of the time, my score is somewhere under 100,000. So I don't know if the mode's broken, or if I suck, or if it's just I don't agree with the design decisions, or if there really is a pattern and it's just way too complex for me to recognize it, even though I can recognize the patterns in all the other geometries. But love-hate relationship. The neat thing is that they do actually have the leaderboard, and they integrate the leaderboard into the actual gameplay. So the other people on your friends list that have played Geometry Wars 2, as you play, in the top right-hand corner, it shows the gamer tag of the person who has the next highest score from you, either the next highest from your high score or the next highest from where you are right now. So you know what you... So you have a goal of what you want to beat in your next playthrough. So I thought that was actually kind of neat, and it basically... And it'll update. As you get a higher score, it'll update and tell you who the next one is. Or if you have the highest score, it'll show you your high score, and then you basically try to beat your high score. I like that. I like the way that they implemented that. So if you're a fan of Geometry Wars, this is not like Galaxies, although it does have a lot of the concepts that were introduced in Geometry Wars Galaxies, like the geoms that give you the multiplier. And the multiplier does not go away when you die. Basically, when you die, you lose 5 seconds. Which sucks, especially at the end of the game and they scale back the enemies, so there's not as many great enemies that give high point values. You have to stay alive for a while to get like the high point values. But they introduce a whole bunch of concepts and new game types that aren't in Galaxies. So if you're a Geometry Wars fan, I think you should buy this. You can try the demo. You can actually play the first mode completely, all 3 minutes of the deadline mode is the free demo on there, and there is multiplayer. Where you can do either versus or co-op on any of the 6 modes. Multiplayer on the same console. Can't do it online, probably for lag issues, but it was there, and my girlfriend and I actually played it for quite a while. And it was fun. So that's another A title for me. I gave it an A. ActF says, you died, you suck, game over. Xenocore says, Bobby, the gates rotate either clockwise or counterclockwise. They do float in a general direction, but they shudder as they move. Try to keep a fair amount of gates active. Also, circling a group corrals the diamonds into a tighter group. See, here's the thing. That's what I thought as well in terms of the gates. What I have noticed is that the gates will change direction. They will change the way that they are rotating. They will also change their speed and move as they're around. They do not have a constant rate, and it's not that they like bounce off the wall and change their direction that way. They'll just change randomly. That's why I say it's the random number generator. Because, yeah, you can't really count on them being somewhere, you know, because sometimes I'll look at them and say, okay, at the rate it's turning right now, it'll be perfect for me to run into in a second or two with this group behind me. And then after I've committed to going to it, it changes its direction, and then suddenly I hit the end because it started rotating the opposite direction. So I'd like to think that you're correct, but what I've seen and the ways that it has killed me suggest differently. I mean, even games like I Want to Be the Guy, which is designed to make you hate it and to kill you on the first screen, at least they have patterns you can memorize. They have predictable patterns once you figure them out. It's just you die 8 million times trying to figure out that pattern. Sky says, I get the highest scores when I just ignore the Geoms and focus on flying through gates and in between the blue diamonds the Geoms collect naturally. And one thing that I wanted to point out is that there are some really nifty achievements that are in Geometry Wars 2. And in fact, my girlfriend was playing some of these. One of the neatest achievements is this one. It's called Wax On and Wax Off, which is in the pacifism mode. You have to basically rub across all of the walls. And it's very hard to actually play the game and rub against the walls at the same time. My girlfriend hates the mode because she immediately started trying to get this achievement and kept dying because she wouldn't actually play the game, and then she would try to play the game and then die as she would try to get more of the walls. But those are kind of neat. You have to basically wax on is you have to go around the entire thing once, and it actually shows your progress. It'll recognize that you're trying to do that achievement and show your progress. And then wax off is going over it again and taking off all your stuff. It's very difficult. Some of the other ones in waves, there's like a surfing one where basically you can't shoot anything, and all these enemies are coming, and you basically have to stay in the center and make sure that they don't hit you for eight waves. Very difficult. I finally got that out of luck. I think I died right as the achievement sound was made. The one I can't get in King is this one where there's all these little spaces where you can shoot from, but if you activate those zones and leave, there's an achievement where it's called Treaty, and basically what you do is you activate 30 zones without firing. And so all the enemies are building up, and you're basically running from zone to zone to try to activate them. I can get to about 20 to 21 zones before I finally die. But they've done achievements right, but they've at least made more achievements that I can get. I think I've gotten half the achievements so far, which is a lot better than Geometry Wars 1, where I only have two achievements because I suck. InnerLogic says, I get high scores because I don't crash that often. He's got like 70 million in pacifism. I need to kick him off my friends list so maybe I have a chance of leading my friends list. So let's talk real quick about two things of kind of gaming news that I want to talk about, and then we're going to go into our Prince of Persia interview. On July 10th on the PlayStation 3, there was an update to Burnout Paradise, the Cagney update. Well, this Monday on the Xbox 360, the rest of the world will get to play this update, and updates have been a long time coming. There's some stuff in here that I don't know why they didn't include in the beginning. Mainly, they've added three new modes to the online mode of Burnout Paradise. So I'm actually very glad that I did not sell Burnout Paradise. I actually still have it, and will probably be wanting to play it sometime this week. They actually have 8-player Road Rage now online, as well as a Versus Stunt Run and then the Marked Man multiplayer, because all you could basically do was the race. And it wasn't even a point-to-point. I hated those, where, you know, if you got lost in the mountains, you lost the race, you might as well just stop and turn back. But they added a whole bunch of online features, fixed some bugs and stuff. So that's coming out Monday to Xbox 360 owners. PlayStation 3 owners have had this for a while, but I don't know how many people they've been playing with. The other big news that happened this past week, was regarding some games that have quite a devoted following, let's put it that way. Obviously, as you know, Activision Blizzard, the merger, is now official, and part of Vivendi's assets is the Sierra Games label. And GameSpot reported earlier that Activision Publishing announced a streamlining of the Vivendi game operations, saying it would be bringing into the fold five of that company's franchises: Crash Bandicoot, Spyro the Dragon, Ice Age, Prototype, and an unannounced game, which I actually know what I've heard what the game is, and I've never heard of it. I think it's a... I don't know what it is, but it's not anything we've heard of. An Activision representative later confirmed for GameSpot that those would be the only Vivendi game franchises coming out from the publisher. This leaves a number of high-profile projects in limbo, including Brutal Legend from Double Fine, as well as WET, Ghostbusters, Chronicles of Riddick, Assault on Dark Athena, World at Conflict, Soviet Assault, 50 Cent Blood in the Sand, Zombie Wranglers, Leisure Suit Larry, Box Office Bust, and several Xbox Live Arcade titles. So the representative said, this is the quote, quote, the only franchises that Activision Publishing will release are based on those five franchises. We are reviewing our options regarding those titles that we will not be publishing, unquote. So Activision Blizzard also has other publishing arms like Blizzard Entertainment and Activision Value. They were not covered by the press release, but I don't think that those are going to be releasing these games. And what's interesting is Ghostbusters was actually playable at the San Diego Comic-Con the week after E3 and got a lot of buzz and got a lot of hype. And it's basically, it's a proven, like, they've already gotten, like, everybody except Bill Murray and Rick Moranis on board to do voices, do new lines for the Ghostbusters game. There's a lot of hype around it. It's a proven moneymaker. I don't understand why Activision decided not to pursue it themselves. Also, I think from this, the Bourne conspiracy was also not continued, and I think that was because Activision also does the James Bond series, and they don't want to have to compete with themselves with the Bourne games. I don't know. So, a couple follow-ups on this. About Ghostbusters, Variety, actually, they have a blog called The Cutscene. It's amazing. We have MTV and Variety providing actual journalism for the games. They say that they got some answers today from Sony Pictures, which, of course, owns the rights to Ghostbusters and licensed the IP to Vivendi last year. The studio gave official word that is working with Activision Blizzard, quote, to evaluate various options surrounding the release of the Ghostbusters video game, unquote. That's obviously vague, but it does contain an important nugget. It wants the game to be released. Sony does go on to say, quote, this has presented Sony Pictures Consumer Products with an opportunity to reevaluate the game release marketing strategy to potentially coincide with the 25th anniversary of the original film in 2009, unquote. So it looks like Ghostbusters is going to be pushed back to 2009, but nobody knows who's going to publish it yet. I do know that the game is not canceled. They're still working on the game. They're just trying to find a new person to publish it. And frankly, Ghostbusters, with all the hype it's been getting, especially, you know, online and on gaming forums and stuff, I think people will step up to publish it. Brutal Legend from Double Fine Productions. Poor Tim Schafer. Tim Schafer can't get a break. This is exactly what happened with Psychonauts. He was developing Psychonauts as a Microsoft first-party title, pretty much. Microsoft Game Studios was publishing it along with Oddworld Stranger's Wrath. And Microsoft decided... About a year before Psychonauts was supposed to be finished, that they didn't really want to publish these quirky games anymore for whatever reason, and so they released Psychonauts and Oddworld Stranger's Wrath, which is why they are now eventually multi-platform, and actually Oddworld Inhabitants, the company that put out Oddworld, eventually left the game industry because of this, and now they make CG movies, and I think they're doing something in games again, but Lauren Lanning pretty much said, yeah, screw the game industry. I'm going to go make movies now, CG movies. So essentially, Psychonauts had to find a new publisher, and that was Majesco, who decided that they were going to try to make AAA titles. So they made Psychonauts and Advent Rising were the two AAA titles they tried to release, and they were sales flops. Psychonauts is a very excellent game, and you have many chances to get it. I think it's even an Xbox original. So you can get it for your Xbox 360 downloadable, and you should try it out. But it sold dismally. It was horrible. And everybody says that's Majesco's fault, but Psychonauts and Advent Rising, I actually heard commercials for on my local alternative radio station during the afternoon drive time home. So it's not that they didn't advertise it. Maybe they just advertised to the wrong crowd. I don't know. But anyway, Brutal Legend, Tim Schafer's newest game. It stars Jack Black. It's about heavy metal and decapitation and killing and all that stuff. It's now also lost its publisher. However, Variety reports that Double Fine does own the rights to Brutal Legend, and so they don't have to wait for Activision Blizzard. They say they are close to sealing a new deal to release the game. Variety does not know who it is, but they understand that it may not be a traditional publisher. It could be a more unique arrangement. So, Brutal Legend still being worked on, and they're very close to getting a new publishing deal now that Vivendi is no more. And I guess this also saves Tim Schafer, because he was an old LucasArts guy back when LucasArts did adventure games, and Sierra was his mortal enemy. Tiger Claw says that the Ludlum Estate, which does the Bourne conspiracy, the whole Bourne series, reacquired the rights to the game back for the Bourne games. Game Guru says, let's face it, Activision bought Vivendi, he says Sierra, but Vivendi for Blizzard, and Crash and Spyro was a bonus. And that's pretty much true. Activision wanted the World of Warcraft pie, and they couldn't make a World of Warcraft, so they decided to just go get World of Warcraft. I have no doubts that really they were there for Blizzard. just like, you know, EA, who wants Take-Two, you know, everybody thinks it's for Grand Theft Auto. No, they want Take-Two for the 2K Sports label. They want to get those 2K Sports, you know, like the MLB license. That's why EA's really going after Take-Two. Don't think it has anything to do with Grand Theft Auto, although that's gravy. They're really, EA really wants to buy Take-Two so they can get the 2K Sports label and get rid of their major sports competitor. So, the final interview from E3 this year was about a game called Prince of Persia. This is a new version of Prince of Persia. Jordan Merkner is not working on it. I think he's actually making a Karateka remake now. But they are making a new version of Prince of Persia, very stylized, and has an amazing lady in it. That's right. So let's head on over to E3 to talk about Prince of Persia. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
I have a new favorite lady in my life. Her name is Elika. And she saves me all the time because I can't jump across ledges and hurt things. I'm talking about the new Prince of Persia game. I'm here in Ubisoft's booth with Matthew Clark, who is the Elika team lead. He is the lead person of my new hero, heroine. How are you doing today, Matthew?
Pretty good. Yourself? Enjoying E3?
I am enjoying E3, and I just got to sit really close with Prince of Persia and watch Matthew go through it. Tell us a little bit about the new Prince of Persia, just general overview of the game.
Okay. As we discussed during the demo, basically we wanted to rejuvenate the brand, bring some new blood while still remaining true to the franchise's core values, which gamers have come to love, the acrobatics, the fighting. As you mentioned, Elika, our brand new support character, our open world structure, our brand new combat system, and obviously our much talked about illustrative art style.
It looks like a graphic novel. Now, I mean, how did that come about?
Okay, what happened is that when we create video games, like before we create them, we have concept artists which create illustrations that we're going to use as inspiration for the environment, for our characters. And with previous generation consoles, we couldn't show this kind of rendering on screen because it takes a lot of post FX, so treatment on every little pixel. But with the PS3, with the Xbox 360, with the new current generation of PCs, we're able to let players play in these illustrations, and this is our aim.
So the gameplay aspect that I am talking about the most, because listeners of my show know that I'm not exactly, you know, the most reflexive gamer. They love it when I play games against them so they can shoot me a lot, and that sucks, and I hate you guys. But Elika eliminates the screen that makes you feel bad by saying you have died, continue, and quit. You know, why did you guys decide to do that?
Okay, well, first thing, I think dying in games in general breaks the fourth wall. I mean, in real life, well, I've never experienced it, but when you die, there's no retry screen, there's no retry quit option. It's you die. Whereas in video games, I think we've been used to this because in times of arcade games, you know, it's insert another quarter. So it was interesting, but I think we're going away from that insert another quarter mentality, and I think it's time that we have other systems where the player doesn't die because it's like based in the arcade system mentality. So with Elika, she's following you through all acrobatics. She's helping you with her magic, and whenever you run in trouble in the fight, in the acrobatics, anywhere, she's there to save you.
Now, do you worry that this is going to make the game too easy?
No, I don't think so, because I think we create our own challenges. I was discussing with David, our animation director, yesterday. We were discussing racing games like Gotham City. I've played Burnout a lot. And, you know, those are games where you don't die. You create your own challenge. You might spend 2 hours in a map just trying to cut off 1 second off, you know, your lap time. So I think the challenge is there, and it's the player that creates his own challenges as well.
So is the combat, like, because some people are worried that it's going to be kind of like a one-button mash fest. You know, you got the one button that does everything, and that's all you're going to do. How is the controller laid out, and how are you actually going to be playing the game? And, you know, if also, you know, for people who are very good at video games, what are they going to run into?
Okay. The controller setup is really easy. They're all contextual buttons. Let's say on PS3, the square is the sword, the triangle is Elika, the circle is the prince's glove, and the X button is jump. So everything is contextual. Whenever you're in a combo string and you say, okay, well, now I want Elika to go in, well, you press the Elika button and it's going to chain in into an Elika interaction with the enemy. So let's us create and let the player create fast and furious long combos without having to remember like a bunch of key combinations that you read in the manual and then you try to reproduce on screen. So I think it will make it a very easy entry level into the combat.
And what's in there for, you know, for the veteran gamer? What is in there that to make them feel, because I mean the game makes the easy, you know, the low-end gamer feel cool. Is there anything that will make a veteran gamer feel cooler?
I think the game will play much faster. The acrobatics, I think, as I said, will appeal to casual gamers. Elika is there to save them, but I think they will die less often. They will require Elika less often as well. So I think it will be in terms of speed and in terms of personal challenges as well.
Now, I don't know why you'd want to do this, but is there a way to turn Elika off, or is she integral to the game and you have to have her on?
No, she is integral to the game. As we saw during the combat section, there are certain states of enemies that will require Elika absolutely. That's one of the ways where we ensure that players don't do button mashing. They have to try different combos. They have to adapt to the situation, and it's not just pressing the square button all the way out.
Press triangle to not die.
Yeah, kind of.
Now, some people, I was talking to some of our chatters after the press conference yesterday when we first saw it, and they were wondering, you know, they were saying, you know, that maybe not have like a You Are Dead screen, but they would have rather have seen, I think it was Seymour Booty in his chat, that's actually his chat name, was saying he'd rather it fade out to black and then come back in the place. Did you consider that, or did you always have Elika doing the animation of pulling you back up if you fall off a ledge? Was that always there?
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's a very good suggestion as well, fading to black, but in my own opinion, that's video game-ish. As I said, we're used to the retry screen, we're used to the fade to black, but I think that's not organic. It's not the way it happens in real life. Okay, there isn't a woman to save you every time you mess up in real life. There isn't, but at the same time, it's, I think, getting away from that retry-quit mentality.
Is Elika single?
Yes.
Yeah. Does she like long walks on the beach? Does she like rhythm action games?
Yes, well, you know, she's the daughter of a king. She's used to run the kingdom. We're not, like, for gamers that are played Ico. Like, she's the complete opposite of Yorda. You know, Yorda was frail in her animations and the way she moved. She always needed being taken care of, whereas Elika is a free, modern, independent woman. And I think the interaction with our drifter adventurer prince will be interesting.
You think I'm her type?
I think so. Yes. Yeah.
Woohoo! I like her. Call me. So when is Prince of Persia coming out?
This holiday season for PS3, Xbox 360, and PC.
Well, thank you very much, Matthew, for spending some time with us.
Thanks a lot.
Welcome back to the Bobby Black Show. So you play my promo when I'm not there, and then you disagree with me?
Yeah.
Black Wolf, this a long kiss, goodnight, no homo. How dare you play that lame-ass old promo? Don't you know, homie, that I'm loco? Force choke hold, rip out your vocal. Pen 15, martial artist, slash robo. My voice make your spine shake like a Polaroid photo. F-E-A-R, but you got no slow-mo. My guns will make you jump harder than Miyamoto. Motherfucker, I'll kill.
And he actually thinks I'm going to take his call tonight after making that. That was Pen15's new bumper, because apparently he did not like it that I played his old bumper on the show, and so he made that. So, and he thinks I'm going to take his call. But if you want to leave a bumper, I will try to have the voicemail working on Skype again, Bobby Blackwell's show. I do not have it working right now. I need to go over and buy another year of voicemail with Skype.com. But you can email me an MP3, and I'll put music behind it, and you can get your own bumper, so you don't have to listen to Pen15 rap about how he's going to kill me. So I'm going to go ahead and open up our phone lines and our Skype line. A lot of people don't really like... a lot of people really don't like what they were talking about with the Elika character. But we actually have a call on the line right now, so I'm going to go ahead and take this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hello, Bobby.
Who is this?
It's Blade 3.
Blade 3, what's on your mind?
Not much. I'm going to talk about something a little off topic, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
All right. I wanted your personal review for something.
Okay.
Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
I had not played it all that
long. No way.
No, I mean, I played it a little bit, but it came out at a time when I really didn't have, like, hours upon hours upon hours to play an RPG. But, I mean, I liked what I had started. It's just, it was something I rented, but I never really played it through, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to know that off the back of my hand. But also, I wanted to talk a little about Civ.
Okay.
Now, I know last week, or the week before, I'm not entirely sure, you said something about this new one being a spinoff of an old one or something?
No. You're talking about Civilization Revolution, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a remake?
No, it's a console-fied version of Civilization.
Oh, okay.
That's the way that I see it.
All right. That sounds interesting. Have you seen anything about it?
I reviewed Civilization Revolution earlier in the show.
Did they transfer the mouse to controller movement pretty well?
You don't miss the mouse.
Okay,
let's put
good.
It that way. You don't miss the mouse. I mean, they have enough. You know, it's made for the console, so you know it basically. And they use all the buttons to do quick stuff around. But you don't miss the mouse. It's a game that they made from the ground up to be Civilization light, pretty much. It's you don't have to worry about as much of the micromanaging, which is why you don't really miss the mouse. But it works, and it works well, in my opinion.
Did you get a chance to review the DS version?
No, I did not get to review the DS version.
So I hope that's good though.
I've heard that I've heard some people saying that they like it. I know one person that I know has it, and they've been playing it a lot. So I haven't been able to see it myself. I played the 360 version.
What about Fable 2?
I haven't played Fable 2 yet because it's not out yet.
Well, yeah. But did you see the videos?
I saw some of the videos and stuff, and, I mean, it looks great, but, I mean, I can't really comment on it until I've actually laid hands on it, and, unfortunately, I was unable to see it at E3, so I can't talk about it from that.
All right, well, one last thing, okay?
Okay.
You have Steam, correct?
Yes.
Do you have Counter-Strike Source?
I don't play first-person shooters, so no. I have Steam for Portal and Audio Surf.
Major letdown.
It's...
Paw People, I thought you would have Orange Box.
I got Portal.
That doesn't count.
That's part of Orange Box. It's the best part of Orange Box.
What about TF2?
Nah.
All right.
The videos are funny, though.
Oh, yeah, those are good. All right, Bobby. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for your call, man.
Good show as always.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. If you want to call in and talk about anything that we've been talking about or anything else in the gaming industry, or you can ask me questions about what I've been playing. And so going back, some people were really getting kind of upset. The whole thing with Elika in Prince of Persia, it's 50-50. And some people like it. Some people hate it and think it's the worst idea ever. And so we're going to take another call here. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Yo, Bobby, Zeno from the Ultimate Quest. How you doing?
Zeno Core, what is up? What is on your mind? I think I know.
Holy crap, man. The interview was horrid.
Why was
Jordan,
this one horrid?
Here comes you hate save all... your baby, man. Oh, my Lord.
You hate all my interviews.
Oh, I don't hate your interview. I hate this person's answers for the questions you had because it tells me that this version of Prince of Persia isn't something I'm going to buy. It's heartbreaking.
So, okay, so what are your problems with it?
Okay, there's one piece of information I need to know. The mechanic for, what's her name, Elika, is it similar to the way the Dagger of Time works to where you have a limited amount of time to use it, or she's always going to be there to save you if you hit the button at the right time? Because that removes the risk from the reward, in my book.
Well, there's two ways that Elika is used from what I saw. Now, I will preface this because I know some people care about this. Unfortunately, I was not able to actually hold the controller and play it. So okay. But I was walked through the entire demo by the guy who gave me the interview before I did the interview. So, you know, and I asked him, and I specifically asked him about how the buttons work, but I did not actually get to play it myself. That being said, there are certain jumps, like, you know, when he was showing some of the platforming elements, that to make it all the way across, you actually have to jump and then hit the Elika button for her to fling you all the way across to the next area. If you didn't do that, then it kind of cut to this other animation of her flying down, grabbing you and throwing you back up to the previous ledge.
Wait, so she physically just takes off as if she has wings and saves
yes.
you from doom?
Yeah, because there's like a whole story reason why she's like that.
I know you can write that in there, but talk about breaking the fourth wall with a game over screen. I'm sorry, but this whole mechanic seems like it's breaking the wall just as badly. But anyway, yeah, I just had to get that out of my system. I had to dig, man.
Yeah,
they can't be messing up my Prince of Persia. The Prince of Persia they remade for the Xbox Live is brilliant. I love that one.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, I'm one of the, like I said, I think it's 50-50. Like, pretty much split down the middle. There are people that like this mechanic, like me, and there's people that hate this mechanic, like you. And, you know, I see both sides of it, but, you know, a lot of time, you know, I may actually play the game more because I suck more, because I'm not always discouraged by the you have failed screen. You know, like in Prince of Persia, the Sands of Time, the fail screen was, wait a minute, that's not what it was like, and then it puts you back at the last checkpoint. So instead of seeing that, wait a minute, that's not what happened. Instead, now they actually show an animation instead of taking you out and do that continue and retry screen, which I like, but I can understand that it's not everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, best of luck on Geometry Wars 2, man, because I'm having a blast with it. Holy crap. My friends list is ridiculous as far as score is concerned, so...
Yeah, and now, do you think pacifism is broken, or do you think I'm just whining?
I think you're still reaching for the feel of it, because once you get some of the achievements out the way and you just play it, you start to figure out a method of like approaching the first few, you know, million or so, and once you get past that, then it just falls into place. Because I know the guy who survived to get 38 million on pacifism on my list didn't survive longer than a minute beyond what I've been surviving at. I know, just based off how quickly the score builds up.
Yeah, it's exponential.
Yeah, yeah. So it's within a minute, so I'm not that worried about it. I'll get it eventually. And I guess you just have to wait for the golden spawn, so that way all the enemies appear right where you need them to instead.
I know, and see, that's the thing. It's all about the random number generator, and you're basically at the mercy of the random number generator, which is not something I expect from a Geometry Wars thing. I mean, there are predictable patterns everywhere else in Geometry Wars except there. And so that's kind of why it throws me off a little bit. But then again, pacifism is the mode I've played about 20 times more than all the other modes combined. So I guess it's doing something right, even though I'm screaming at it about how unfair it is.
Yeah, and as a final note, the music. Oh my God, who the hell wrote the music? That stuff is great. They need to put that and sell it on the soundtrack or something, on iTunes or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I could do that all day. I could actually finish my PT test in the military running to that.
Yeah, and I mean, I like in the deadline mode, which they know is 3 minutes long, they have it timed perfectly, and so you kind of know, you don't have to look at the clock. You actually know from the buildup of the song how much longer you have left, and I really think that's cool the way they did that.
Yeah, but the Waves song, oh my lord, that one's the best one of the whole group. I just bop in the moment that thing starts up, I'm all hyped up. So,
but then I die after 30 seconds, so I don't get to hear that much more of it.
Yeah, and then you just replay it, and it starts right back up. So.
Yep.
All righty, take it easy, Bobby. Good show, man.
Take care. So we're going to take one more call here. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. So looking through chat, seeing what some people are trying to talk about or say. So we're going to take one last call here. Better be good one. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Black Wolf, this is Penn. What up, G, I mean.
Yeah, uh-huh. Why are you trying to kill me, man? Why do you want to kill me? What is this?
It never offended you before. I want to talk about Soul Calibur 4.
Okay.
One of the greatest fighting games to come out in an extremely long time.
Okay, so this gets the Penn 15 stamp of approval.
So far, yes. Every once in a while, online is a little laggy, and it seems kind of random because I just played a game with Hitstun, and it worked pretty well, but I played somebody locally, and it was, like, really, really slow. Some people have been saying in some of their reviews that the game is really just a button masher, and I'd say that they don't really know how to play the game if they're saying that. Because while you can enjoy it as a button masher, if you know what you're doing, like, you can tell immediately. For example, if you watch the videos done by the Soul Calibur 4 team that they send out as promotion, and then you watch the 1UP videos that they recorded themselves, like, you can tell that the people playing there really know what they're doing versus the people just kind of bashing the buttons.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to bashing the buttons when my PS3 comes back on Tuesday.
Yes. The PS3 version, weaker version.
No, the PS3's got Vader. It's the better version. That's why I'm holding out for it.
Well, actually, everyone's saying that it plays pretty, that Vader plays pretty bad, and that Yoda actually plays pretty well despite his size.
See, I've heard the opposite.
Oh, okay. So. Well, also, the... I'm
trying to rile him
complaint.
Up.
Huh?
What was that? You go ahead.
The complaints with The Apprentice being super cheap, at first I agreed, but there's also something very deceiving about the way he fights. He actually kind of fights like a ninja, in that he actually holds his lightsaber behind his back. Unlike most of the other characters, you can clearly see the length of their weapon, so you can kind of estimate how far it can reach. But because he holds it behind his back, it's extremely difficult to gauge when, like, how far he can reach. And he can reach pretty far with his lightsaber. Some of his projectiles are pretty cheap, but he doesn't seem overpowered. It just seems that I think the people have a bad impression of him because when you first fight him, in Soul Calibur, his AI is turned up a lot. Like, you will definitely lose the first time you fight against the Apprentice. Which, I don't know why they didn't call him Star Killer, because that's a pretty cool name. Because that's his real name in Force Unleashed.
So do you actually use the 360 D-pad?
I do. I hate it, but I really am terrible with the choice. Like, every once in a while in the middle of a fight, I'll switch, like, for specific moves. So I've just kind of... I know what moves I need the joystick for and what moves I need the D-pad for. So every once in a while I switch. But it is extremely frustrating that I can't sort of always be on point with all the moves I want to pull off.
See, I hear with the PS3 controller you can be, because the D-pad's good on that.
Well, it's not good with diagonal moves. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. They're both terrible D-pads.
And the PS3 has Vader.
Unfortunately, what?
And the PS3 has Vader.
Yeah, which is... a crappy character. by the way, Vader's on PS3 because the PS3's evil. Just saying.
Okay. And I'm evil too. That's why I'm getting the PS3 version.
I knew it. So make me make another song, Black Wolf.
I'm getting the PS3 version.
Come on, seriously. Get the 360 version.
Why?
All your all-game friends are going to be on the 360 version.
I've got some all-games friends on the PS3.
Yeah, but they're not the good ones. We all know that, Black Wolf. Come on.
And it's not, he's not going to be downloadable. One little video does not prove anything.
Actually, I've seen 3 or 4 different videos.
Okay, so 3 or 4 little videos does not prove anything.
All right, so when you have to apologize to me in about a month when he comes out...
Yeah, but I'll be playing Vader on Tuesday. I don't have to wait a month to play Vader, if you are correct.
Fine. I will accept the fact that I will never get to play online with Black Wolf.
All right.
It's okay.
Excellent. Anything else on your mind, or did I interrupt you in the middle of a thought? I can't remember.
I can't remember either, but I will agree that that mechanic in Prince of Persia totally sucks. That's
and why terrible. Why do you think it sucks?
Because it's sort of like when people go, well, imagine if they fixed the controls in Resident Evil, it wouldn't be scary. And I thought, well, if you made death an actual consequence, it would be scary. For example, if you play Half-Life without saving after every room, it is an extremely scary game because you don't know how long you're going to survive. And the same thing happened with Turok 2. Turok 2 is not supposed to be a scary game, but because it was so hard, every time you encountered, like, a monster, you were terrified because you knew that you'd lose a big chunk of progress if you died. Mm-hmm. And instead of, like, hiding the fact that you're dying and all this stuff, like, I understand what they're doing because I thought it was clever in the original Prince of Persia when he said, oh, no, that's not how it happened. I admit, I thought that was clever, but I still like the fact that I knew that I failed.
Well, you still know you failed, too. Like, it's a very distinct animation. It's not like in the game. It, like, kind of goes to a cutscene.
And what happens when you fail in combat?
They didn't show that. I did ask that, and they're like, oh, you know, we're not showing that one yet. But it's kind of the same thing, where she comes in and saves you.
Yeah, because I remember I complained about Bioshock in that whenever you died, you actually could die, but whenever you would come back, everybody who took damage from you still had the same damage. It didn't, like, reset. And mm-hmm. I thought, why would you do that? And later on, they fixed it. And, I mean, Prince of Persia is such a mainstream game that I think it's sort of okay, but it's kind of annoying because, like, my excitement for it went down dramatically now that I know that. At any point, I have a easy button that I can just press.
Well, it actually just happens automatically. The easy button is for, like, jumping across long things, which you kind of need her for. But, no, I mean, I can understand your side of it. It's something that they're trying, and I cannot fault them for trying something new. And if it doesn't work, you'll probably see your game over screen in the next Prince of Persia.
But every time when they make changes like this, I always wonder, why not just have both options?
Well, the reason I know that the reason they didn't do it in this one is because of the storyline that they're trying to tell. You need her there. And there's a reason, like, you know, in the battles, the way the boss battles work is that you're actually controlling both your character and her in the boss battles. So they really can't take her out. That's why I asked if you could take her out, and they, you know, no, she's too integral to the rest of the gameplay that you can't turn off her death-saving abilities.
Oh, no, I didn't mean take her out as a character. I just meant mm-hmm. take her out as far as that animation, like.
Yeah.
You know, so. But, yeah.
Hey.
Great show, Bobby.
Thanks for your call, and don't kill me.
All right, I promise.
Okay. So, coming up next here on All Games Radio is Orange Lounge Radio out there in Sacramento, California. The three gamers that talk for a long time about games. They go for like 3 or 4 hours. You can catch them over at orangeloungeradio.com, and we're checking in with them right now. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm not seeing any game over screen, so I'm doing very good.
Sounds pretty interesting. You know, Prince of Persia is kind of one of those series I haven't really played a whole lot of since the old game on the Apple IIe. So kind of interesting to see how it's evolved. Actually, I take that back because I did play one on GameTap, The Sands of Time they had on there for a little while. That was kind of fun.
I hate Prince of Persia. It's awful.
Why do you hate Prince of Persia?
Well, the original Prince of Persia.
Oh, the original one.
Yeah.
It's killer. It's pretty killer.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing that I like about the Prince of Persia, one of the things that I like that has nothing to do with what my interview was about, was the art style. It looks like a graphic novel. Like the trailer that you can download on like Xbox Live Marketplace, and I think the PSN store has it. That's in game. That's how it looks in game.
Prettiness alone does not a good game make.
I know.
But it helps. It certainly helps. So, Bobby, when are we going to do Battle in Civilization?
I don't know. I'm ready for you, though.
We're going to need to plan something. It'll be fun. I can't wait to nuke Bobby Town or whatever you call your villages. Yeah. I don't know. Or do you just use the
use
boring
the default
names?
I use the boring
Actually,
default
I don't
names.
Think you can give your own names in this one, can you?
You cannot name your first city. You can name all the subsequent ones.
That's right. I seem to remember it gives you a list. Yeah, I've been boring and using the default, too, because I'm only playing the computer. I have yet to adventure into online mode myself.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
we'll have to both check it out so we can review it on our respective shows.
That's right. And there's actually, there's both, like, we could go against each other, or we could actually team up and go against the computer. There's, like, a co-op thing.
Ah, now that might be fun, working together for the common good to get more achievements.
Yes.
Did you see that? You see that thing on Xbox Live this week where you can, like, they actually show you in their inside Xbox thing how to get 210 gamer score in the game. Very easy.
No.
I found that a little odd that was being kind of advertised as, hey, here's how to whore your gamer score right there on inside Xbox for the world to see. Like, hey, guess how easy these achievements are. I just thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, but you know what? You know, people will buy it just because of that.
That's weird to me. Or use GameFly to get it, or any other respective game rental service. Interesting. Yeah.
But I mean, I know people that bought Avatar because they could get 1,000 gamer points in 2 minutes.
See, if you really want to do that, get one of those game rental things. I mean, do you have to have the 1,000 gamer score today? I hope not.
No, so it depends if they're using like 360voice.com and they're like in the middle of that challenge thing.
I guess that would make sense. Whatever happened to gamer score challenges on Xbox Live? We had that one like a year ago, sponsored by Old Spice.
Yeah.
Remember we get Old Spice icon, and that's it. Dried up.
Yeah. And Old Spice actually recently pulled out of their thing with 360 Voice because they also did the achievement challenges on 360voice.com. And that relationship ended like a couple months ago.
Well, there you go. Well, anyhow, on tonight's Orange Lounge Radio, we're talking a little bit about piracy. There was some news this week about Nintendo firing a lawsuit to try and stop some of the piracy going on the DS. We're going to be talking about that. But then on the other flip side of things, Sony might be endorsing it in a way. Okay, it's not really that blatant, but there was a very interesting comment made by an executive we're going to be talking about this week. And, of course, you know, this is big news for us here at Orange Lounge Radio. SingStar Musicals. We're very excited about SingStar Musicals.
Is Loki going to be singing anything from that?
If there is a god, I hope so.
Will it be on the Justin TV?
There is no god.
Oh. Hate mail. All right. But yeah, that'll be one game where I won't be challenging Bobby Blackwolf as SingStar Musicals. Yeah. But I will be seeing you at PAX, as will Jamie, as will Matt. We're all going to be at PAX. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. And full Stalker glory.
Yes. Very excited.
Yeah, it's like, what, 21 days away or something?
Yes, I have a crazy travel month. I'm going to Vegas in 2 weeks, Reno in 3, and now Seattle in 4. I am very excited to be flying everywhere.
I'm more freaking out that there's like, I've only got 20 days left to prepare for PAX with our 8 hours.
What exactly does one prepare for PAX besides packing?
Well, I mean, I'm doing the broadcast, the All Games Radio thing.
Oh, yeah, there is that. Oh, yeah, you got to get some good interviews.
I'm trying.
Is Konami going to be there?
No.
We want to be there when the girl from Konami's there. Ah, bummer.
No, I checked. Konami is not on the guest on the exhibitor list.
Bark, 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 bark.
Orange Lounge Radio is up next. OrangeLoungeRadio.com to pick up the podcast. Thanks, guys.
Yes, thanks. Please listen. We're desperate for ratings. Have a good one, Bobby.
But that's it for us. Next week, we'll be back next week, Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio at allgames.com. So catch us live and interact with the show directly. Feel free to leave a voicemail, when I get the voicemail working, over at Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype. Or you can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or we have a forum. You can post comments there. However, we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters, AGN, Chrisville 1724, DC Nate, GK 128, Hendrix, Tedekin, the Rob D, Burr, Footy Monster, Funnydale, Mako, Maximilian, Mr. Elusive, Octocamo, Seymour Booty, Shadows Lar, THK, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Act Def, Ake Ripper, Alpha Cananagram, Alt, Amaze Satsuma, Ash Fox, Bloodshot Robot, Buckfush 187, Camel Pope, Cedar Breas, Dark AX, Dark Tetsuya, De Blue Guy, Derek H, DJ Dark Knight, Fang, Fire Cube, Game Guru, Gaudy, GS68, Gunstar Silver, Havoc 978, Hecht, Henderson Man, Hey Jude, Hitstun, Interlogic, Invader Boy 71, Johnny 5, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, K Dog 96, Kells, Kazin, Kulex, L Frost, Melted General, Misty, Necromoss, Nextil, Nick Ferg, Outrage, Pen 15, Purple Montage, Prowler, Punchy, Sky, TM95, True, Two Crazy Gamers, Valerno, VXJasonXV, What Up G, Wilcon, Xenocore, and Zappy. And a tidbit that I want to give you. This week, I did play a cool game that was sent to me because I am an attractive person. I can't really talk about it, but you won't be disappointed with it, if you know what I'm talking about. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.
Is it really so horrible that a downloadable game is $15? And we give your answers to how Konami can make Rock Revolution relevant. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwolf Show week of August 10th, 2008. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in on, about this net.
It's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb that game.
Bobby Blackwolf back at Dragon Con 2005. I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Dayton, everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwolf.
You know, I stuttered there because according to Google News, the Russians are invading my home state. Thanks, Google News, for that. Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwolf Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You are joining us live here on All Games Radio. You got the pleasure of hearing the fact that my microphone wasn't on, and I had to redo the beginning. But you can join us and tell me how stupid I am for not checking to make sure that the microphone is on by going to our chat room. chat.allgames.com. I'll be reading intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. A little bit later on, we are going to be opening up our toll-free number and our Skype line. Toll-free number is 1-866-880-0156, and our Skype line is Bobby Blackwolf Show, all one word. If you're listening to us in the podcast feed, once again, you're getting one of those lovely double episodes because just things happened and time ran out, and I do this for free. So you're getting a double episode. So you already know that my email is blackwolf@allgames.com. And that I hope to still buy the voicemail so you can leave me voicemails again. So to give a little bit of an update, kind of a period to the end of the story that I started last week, or what some of you probably heard about 45, 50 minutes ago, something like that. My PlayStation 3, I went through the Sony repair process, and it took exactly 2 weeks from the time that I called them to getting a PS3 back. It was obviously not my PS3, but it was a PS3 that was the exact same model that I had sent in, which was the 60-gigabyte, fully backwards-compatible model with all the card reader ports and 4 USB slots and 2 HDMI ports, and actually I'm kidding about the 2 HDMI ports. So it worked. And, you know, I can't really fault Sony. I mean, Sony... from start to finish, that is from the time I called and said, hey, I need a box, to when I was playing PS3 games again, it was 2 weeks. And Microsoft, even when I was, you know, under warranty, Microsoft, it was a little bit longer than 2 weeks. It surprised me that, you know, how kind of in clockwork that it went from every step of the way. And I have not been curing cancer, so cancer has won. Unfortunately, I did finally get Soul Calibur 4 for the PlayStation 3, and I am very happy that I did because I like the D-pad on the PlayStation 3 a lot better than the 360, and I'm not really into fighting games enough to go buy an arcade stick because I don't care about them that much. But I also don't have racing wheels, the Mario Kart wheel notwithstanding, because I never used the thing. So I am actually kind of glad that I got the PlayStation 3 version. A friend of mine did bring over the Xbox 360 version so we could kind of compare them on the same TV, and which is kind of funny because now people probably think I own the game because I actually have that little secret achievement, which, by the way, one of the secret achievements on the 360 is watch the intro. So I was able to play it on both. I like using the PlayStation 3 controller a lot better. The D-pad on the PS3 is a lot better. And I don't have to worry about ever moving over to the analog stick. Yoda, I guess, is pretty cheap. Now, you know, everybody's talking about, you know, Darth Vader being slow in terms of the extra characters. Darth Vader, he is slow. But you can still throw him. which I know the people who probably play on Xbox Live against Yoda are probably very happy to hear. You can throw him, and he is kind of hard to get attacks off. It took me a very long time to beat Arcade, mainly because I still suck, and I'm more of a button masher than actually strategically whatevers. So it took me a while to unlock the Apprentice, but I did finally get the Apprentice unlocked, which basically you have to beat Arcade mode with the secret with the Star Wars character to get him. And he's all badass, but he's the same in both. The load times, I installed, it's not a mandatory install to the PS3. A lot of people are thinking, oh, all these games have mandatory installs. No, I could play the game without installing it to the hard drive. It had no problem with that. I went ahead and installed it, and I really did not notice between that and the Xbox 360 version that much of a speed up. Then again, you know, basically the Xbox 360 version, I only played a couple versus matches just to kind of get a feel of the differences between the PS3, because we had just been playing the PS3 version for about an hour, and then we just popped in the 360 version just to compare. Only thing, I mean, the cutscenes were smoother on the PlayStation 3, but that really doesn't affect gameplay. I did not really see that much of a difference between actual gameplay on the PS3 and the 360. I mean, everything else was pretty much the same. One thing I will say is that on the PlayStation Network area, being an X-Bot, if you want to call me that, most of the games I've played online are Xbox 360 games, so I'm used to the leaderboard concept. I'm used to being able to check with my friends, see where I am in my friends, see them all above me and me down at the bottom. And so I was prepared to do that on the PlayStation Network because I do have a smattering amount of friends, a lot of whom do actually play Soul Calibur 4, I see on the friends list. So I was like, I wonder what their scores are. And every time I would go to the leaderboard and check my friends, it would always say failed to load every single time. Now, I could view like the top ones, and I don't know maybe if I have to put my time up first or, you know, I have to contribute to the leaderboard before it will load them, but it didn't work. And I, you know, went in the Xbox 360 version, I went in and saw the leaderboards immediately. So it worked on the Xbox, on Xbox Live. That portion did not work on the PlayStation Network. Unfortunately, I'm not a big fan of playing random games online, so I haven't played any ranked matches, and I have not been online when the other PS3 owners on my list have been playing Soul Calibur, so I could jump in on that. So I have not played it online, so I can't tell you how it is. Usually people will sit there and play it online during my show, and that's the only time they play, and I can't really join in on my show. You guys suck. Pen15 says, Black Wolf is terrible. If only someone would teach him the ways of the Calibur. Yeah, someone with a PS3 want to teach me the ways of the Calibur. And he also says, have fun with broke Calibur on PS3 in your face, Black Wolf. Thank you, Pen15. Thank you. I'm very happy with my D-pad and being able to use my D-pad. So that's basically what my thoughts. I mean, last week's podcast, which, you know, you probably just heard, Pen15 gave his views on Soul Calibur 4. You can listen to that. You can always just hit rewind and listen to that again. So I finally got it, and I do enjoy it. And it's probably the one fighting game I'll get this year, so there it is. Another game that I've been playing, and it's okay that I do this. I'm kind of not supposed to do this. I have been playing, and I have unfortunately not completed yet, just because of time. You know, obviously, I haven't had that much time to complete it. But I have been playing Strong Bad's Cool Game for Attractive People, which is the Telltale game coming out to WiiWare and PC tomorrow, August 11th. Monday, August 11th. It's going to be a $10 game on the Wii. I forget what the PC prices are, but you can get the season pack on the PC. The reviews for this are under embargo until 12:01 a.m. Pacific on Monday morning. So about 7 hours from when we're recording this. So I actually can't give you a full review. But Telltale has told me that if I liked it, I'm allowed to kind of generally go over my thoughts on it, but I cannot give you a full review. But basically, if you are a fan of Homestar Runner, the homestarrunner.com webcomic series, been going on for a long time, if you're a fan, you will not be disappointed. It's a lot like Sam & Max, but the puzzles are not as simple, and I hope Telltale didn't revoke my reviewer's license for this. So you still can't die, but it's not as easy as like Sam & Max. So, I mean, you do have to really think about some stuff. At least I did. Like I said, I haven't completed it yet. There is a lot more to do in an episode. There are reasons to go back and play it again, which is something that is not like other Telltale products that are like this. And what I played, that, you know, pretty much I played the PC version, but apparently the Wii version is going to be very similar to it. There's some motion controls that I don't get to do. But basically, if you are a fan of adventure games and of the Homestar Runner universe, you will love this game. I enjoyed this game. And I'm kind of teetering on the line there, so I'm going to kind of stop there. And I can give you a more full review next week after it's out and after the embargo is up, but I don't want to piss anybody off. But basically, they said that if I liked it, I'm allowed to tell you I liked it and give you some general stuff. So there you go. Strong Bad's cool game for attractive people. The first episode, Homestar Ruiner, comes out on August 11th, Monday, on Wii, WiiWare, and PC. Amazed Tsuma asked, Bobby, did the game boot you off once it learned you weren't attractive? Anyway, we're going to move on to the next story, or next thing I was going to talk about. Amazed Tsuma hurts my feelings. Braid came out on Xbox Live Arcade this week, and it was the second game to break the kind of price point barrier type of thing in recent memory. There have been some games that have been priced at 1,200 points, which is $15. And a lot of people are like, why would I pay $15 for a game I'm downloading? Why would I pay, say, $15 for a game I'm downloading? Blah, 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 blah. And I think Penny Arcade made a good point on this, is that people will buy T-shirts with funny slogans for $15, or they'll buy an expensive meal for $15, but they won't buy a game that a lot of people consider great. Now, I did play Braid a little bit. I played the demo. I did not get a chance to buy it all the way yet. And it's one of those things. I saw Braid at GDC in 2006, and that was my first experience with Braid. And it was all about secrecy was the main thing that I knew about Braid, because the creator, Jonathan Blow, actually didn't want anybody knowing that he had created Braid. So it was the one IGF entry that did not have a public demo. The only people who had played it were the judges in the Independent Games Festival that year. And the first time it was actually shown was actually at GDC. And that was one of the first things that I actually went to that GDC to go play was Braid. So, and I actually ran into Jonathan Blow, and he was willing to shake my hands. You know, I told him I enjoyed playing the game as far as I could play there, and that, you know, it was kind of an enigma. And he's like, yeah, it's about the game, not about me. And I'm like, cool. And he's like, yeah, don't do anything about, you know, don't do a little skit about it, because he saw that I was about to do something kind of like, you know, interviewing the person who's not actually there talking about Braid. He's like, no, don't do that. No, you can't do that. So it was kind of interesting that he was, you know, not willing to let some, you know, a podcaster have fun over the fact that there was this mystery surrounding who created this game. But that was my first foray into Braid, and a lot of people seem to think that you see, Jonathan Blow, he's very outspoken now, and he actually says a lot of things that a lot of people consider him to be a big douchebag or something. So you can make your own opinion. He's got a lot of interviews now. He is absolutely no problem telling you that he designed Braid now. But Braid, it's basically it's a puzzle platformer where you're trying to get puzzle pieces and arrange these puzzles. And then there's a castle at the end. And unfortunately, because of the way the demo is structured, I really don't know how much it goes into that. I do know other people who have really enjoyed it, and maybe they'll call in the second segment and talk a little bit about it. But it was kind of interesting the way that it did some things. And also for Jonathan Blow's remark of, here, I'm going to write a walkthrough of the game, and the walkthrough is don't use a walkthrough. So if you get stuck on his puzzles, too effing bad. So, but it's $15, and a lot of people don't think that they should be allowed to pay anything over $10 for a downloadable game, even though on the PS3, lots of people bought Warhawk for $30. You know, Little Big Planet's going to be a downloadable title. The PlayStation 3 has a bunch of games for over $10 that you can download. But suddenly when Microsoft does it, it's really, really bad. And it's one of those artsy games. There's starting to be this surge of more artsy games coming in, especially on downloadable content and stuff. And there was another artsy game, a demo that I played, and maybe somebody can call in and kind of explain this one to me. It's Pixel Junk Eden, and it's on the PlayStation Network, and I didn't get it. Like, I kind of figured out that I was, you know, supposed to, basically, you're this little dude, and there's no tutorial at all, at least in the demo. So you're this little dude, and you have, like, you're Spider-Man, I guess, and you can shoot web out from your fingertips and launch around on these huge flowers and collect seeds. And then there's a timer, and, you know, you don't have much control of your character. You can just swing him around like he's, you know, a little ant-sized version of Bionic Commando. I didn't get it. And, I mean, it looks pretty and stuff, but I didn't get the point or what you were supposed to do in it, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if how well that sold or if other people got it. I mean, I know that it had some neat features. It had the YouTube uploading ability, so you could actually upload your video to YouTube so people who didn't even play games could go, what the hell is this? Nutman asks, if the game's good, then why is $20 such a huge financial barrier? I'd pay $30 retail for Castle Crashers, so I'll sure as hell pay $20. Yeah, Castle Crashers is coming out. It's by the, I believe, the same guys that made Alien Hominid. It's coming out, and it's going to be, I think, a $20 game, like the Penny Arcade Adventures. And people are crying about that as well. Speaking of money and parting with money, I'm going to cover this just because everybody thinks that they pay me, and this proves that they don't pay me. Turner has decided to sell its online video game side, GameTap, which is something we've covered here. We've actually had the vice president of GameTap, Ricardo Sanchez, on this show before. And I've been a big fan of GameTap, even before they started talking to me. And apparently they couldn't afford to pay the checks that they always send to me because it's being sold. Now, there was a recent report from Time Warner, financial report, that actually has like one little line that says the current year quarter included an $18 million non-cash impairment of GameTap as a result of Turner's decision to sell its online video game business. So GameTap is being sold. And I put some calls in to some people that I know. And unfortunately, I got the exact same response from Turner that everybody else got. You know, I guess my email was forwarded to, like, the VP of PR, and so I got the quote of, quote, there is considerable marketplace interest in the GameTap business and brand. We are considering various strategic options, but have reached no final agreement as of yet. When there is a resolution, we will announce it. So, I know a little bit more of what's going on, but I'm not going to say that much, just because it's not something that I'm supposed to be talking about right now, and it was from somebody not connected. So it's rumor, basically, and I don't really want to be like the guy that says a rumor that's either true or false and get in trouble and anything like that. But this may be a good thing for GameTap because I know that they've been kind of laying off their editorial department and stuff. This, I don't think this is going to be the end of GameTap. So I'll just leave it as that. Going back to the previous story, Pen15 says, if you know a game costs $10,000 to make, then charging $20 for something that literally isn't worth it just seems wrong. Also, unlike Castle Crashers, Braid doesn't seem to have the polish and attention to detail that Castle Crashers does. Dark Tetsuya says, Black Wolf doesn't want to be the guy. That game is kind of hard. I don't blame him. Yeah, I want to be the guy. That's a hard game. What Up G said asked, did anybody ever go to GameTap and read the articles? And the answer is probably no. They did actually have some good editorial videos and stuff, some of the videos that were on the GameTap service. You know, people were there to play the games. And so that's what they were trying to focus on. Nutman responds to Pen15, says, so if it's downloadable, then $20 is too much, but if it was retail, it would be $30, not $20. So people are still kind of fighting a little bit over the price of downloadable content, even though there are games out there that you can pay $40 or $50 for and download them. Steam is a great example of this. Dark Tetsuya says, I had GameTap for a while, but lately there are new selections. Eh. Funnydale says, I never read the articles. I thought it was odd that a site that promoted mostly older titles started to do editorial on new games. And I think they wanted to kind of be the video game channel. Like, they wanted to be kind of like the cable network for video games. I mean, not really. I mean, they wanted to be structured more like a cable network with an on-demand service, rather than just, you know, a gaming portal. But really, it was the gaming portal that survived along those lines. And a lot of those videos that they did, a lot of the editorial videos, at least in the beginning, were actually promoting those old games. You know, they would bring in Sid Meier to talk about the Civilization games when they added those to the service and things like that. So it was kind of weird that they started doing, you know, covering the Xbox and the PlayStation and things like that. And not a lot of people bought into it because there's other gaming sites that do the exact same thing. Ben 50 says, I can buy Burnout Paradise with all this free DLC for $30, so downloadable content has to compete with full-budget titles for the same price. Also, downloadable games almost never come down in price, except for the Xbox Live Marketplace hits thing, where they've, like, slashed prices in half of some popular games and stuff. Kind of, they've done a greatest hits thing. PlayStation 3 ones, actually, I've noticed, like, some of their games go up in price. It's kind of weird. Never really understood that one. Like, a game would be, like, $7.99, and then, like, 3 weeks later, it'll be $9.99. It's kind of weird. I don't like that as much. So, we're going to take our quick music break, and then there's a music break that you're not going to hear on the podcast, and then a promo for something that you are going to hear on the podcast. And then we're going to take some calls, and we're going to give the answers to our email question about Rock Revolution, Konami's rhythm action game, how to make it relevant. We're going to read those answers and then send some iPod speakers to one of them. We'll be doing that kind of near the end of the call-in segment. So that'll be coming up. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
As gamers, we've been known to take pride in our communities. We've all shared a bond that has grown from simple gaming to lifelong friendships. And as our communities continue to grow, we realize we can have a real positive impact on both the real and virtual worlds we game in. And it's with these ideals that Platform Nation is proud to announce a unique charity drive dubbed Playpalooza 08. Taking place on August 14th, 2008, Playpalooza is a 50-hour gaming marathon that will be conducted in support of the nationally recognized children's charity, Child's Play, which provides video games to hospitalized children throughout the world. Participants in Platform Nation's Playpalooza 08 will play a series of games in timed 30-minute increments with the gameplay streamed live on Ustream.tv. Each segment will feature text overlays with information about the games and their donors. Games to be featured at the event have been donated from a number of prominent publishers throughout the gaming industry, and the event will feature as many as 100 different games. At the close of the event, all donated games will be collected and the proceeds given to Child's Play during a public event at this year's Penny Arcade Expo in Seattle, Washington. Platform Nation is a collaboration of several gaming podcasts committed to sharing their efforts and resources for the betterment and entertainment of gamers worldwide. Together, we have a larger voice and influence in the industry, which we strive to use in order to represent the views and concerns of our friends, the gaming community. We share the same forums and the same listeners. For those interested in any information regarding Playpalooza 08, you can contact Stephen Artliff, Platform Nation's very own editor-in-chief, at steve@platformnation.com. Platform Nation, united we game, but together we can change the world.
This is the Bobby Blackwell Show, and I decided to write a little song about it. Yeah, that's me playing the guitar. You think I can just play crappy guitar? Nah. This is Gamer Edie from Gamehounds. I have a little message for you. You can get anything you want on the Bobby Blackwell Show. You can get anything you want on the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Walk right in, it's around the back. Just 4 bars on the podcast track. Oh, you can get anything you want on the Bobby Blackwolf Show. Yeah, I totally wrote that. And the music too. This is Gamer Edie from Gamehounds. And when I'm not writing wonderful songs like this, I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Thank you very much. Gamer Edie, that was she's from Platform Nation. Gamehounds, gamehounds.net. Platform Nation doing their Playapalooza 08 charity event, gaming event. They're going to play a whole bunch of games for many hours and donate to Child's Play Charity. So check them out, platformnation.com. They're going to be doing an event at Penny Arcade Expo, actually kind of in the, probably in the same area that we're going to be doing our live event. All of our streaming, they're actually going to be in the same area before us. So you'll be able to see them there. So before I opened up the Skype line and the phone lines here, I actually got an email from somebody. One of our listeners, Kadosho, actually emailed me and said, "Hey, I got some news with a Z." I don't know actually if you put the Z on there. He's like, "I got some news, and I wanted to share it with you first." And I was like, that's mighty awesome of you, Kadosho. So we have Kadosho on the line. Kadosho, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Kadosho, so you've done some investigative reporting or some sleuthing, and you felt that that my audience would like about it. So what's going on, man?
Okay, well, here's the deal. Masterman Vending here in Tacoma, Washington, they're a branch distributor of arcade products for decades now. And I received information from the owner of the company addressing about Street Fighter 4 in U.S. arcades very soon.
Okay, so Street Fighter 4 in U.S. arcades, what's the deal on this?
Okay, well, the deal is this is the international version because they couldn't bring the internet cards because, of course, they have to go through a network and outsource. So this is actually like pretty much our home edition of it. Since we can't go online with their system, we have our own international. Like, you remember Marvel versus Capcom 2 in the arcades, Bobby?
I'm sure I've seen it.
Yeah,
I'm sure I've walked by it, but I never really played them. I got my ass kicked.
Hey, don't feel bad. I did too. But the internal system in Marvel versus Capcom 2 actually had an embedded timer and an unlockable modes. Like a sensor bar showing, like like a loading screen on the PS3 or 360. It'll show like it would start red and then it goes up to yellow, and when it maxes out, it says final, it's cleared, and everything's unlocked. Well, Street Fighter 4 is going to have the same system, since it can't go on their network through Japan to us, so it will be distributed that way. The distribution's going to go through us first here in Tacoma at Narrows Plaza. And their head chief told me that they are trying to get as much attention as they can for the game to arrive in about a week and a half from now. So it's something to really look forward to.
Okay, so in a week and a half, Street Fighter 4 arcade cabinet is going to be in Tacoma.
Yes. Is it?
Okay. And, what differences do you know between, other than, kind of what you said, but is it basically just going to be just like the console version? Because you said it's kind of like the home version.
Yeah, but it still has the arcade elements, but it will unlock as if you're playing it at home. So you don't have to go online with it, since it's embedded with, we can't use the index, the internet cards, but it will unlock things along the way as more people play the game. Just like Soul Calibur did and a couple others.
Right. So, did he say like how much these arcade cabinets are going to cost? For other like distributors.
Well, this type one, Masterman Vending, they're actually the main ones releasing it here. Mm-hmm. There's another company that they told me about named Dandy that does work for arcade, for not just arcades, but also for movie theaters. The problem is they wait 6 months until it's actually like really made a sell or killing in the market. And he said, you know what? Screw it. We don't want to wait for them. We're gonna make it. And we're gonna bring it out over here now. Because they know there's a demand for a lot of people wanting to play the game pretty soon. Right. And he also told me that they're actually releasing the same machine elsewhere besides here. They'll be having one at KomoriCon next year, and they'll be having one in Edmonton, Canada in a few weeks from now. And they will be releasing the port over for the Tokyo Game Show as the confirmed international edition there at the show in about another month. So...
anything at PAX? Because Penny Arcade Expo is in Seattle. I don't know. I mean, help me with my geography. How far away is Tacoma from Seattle?
About an hour and a half, no traffic.
Yeah, so they can just throw one on a truck and take it down to PAX, right?
Right, yeah. He said, yeah, we're working on a surprise for us, so we'll have to wait and see. Well, the other things you might want to know to your listeners is that in order to play the game, it costs $1 a piece per player. So it's not just quarters anymore.
Well,
so
yeah,
I'm sorry to say.
I don't think any game is less than a dollar, except for like the Pac-Man Galaga combo machines nowadays.
Yeah,
and many times it's the places that I play now. I mean, I don't know if this is the same in some of the areas you go. It's they don't even give you tokens anymore. They give you like that little card, like a swipe card. Dave and Buster's does this. Jillian's does this. GameWorks does this, where you swipe it and it's like, oh, you used 3.2 credits. Well, what is 3.2 credits? Well, actually, winds up being like something like $1.68 or some weird number like that. So yeah, no game has been under a dollar in a long time in the arcades, unfortunately.
And the one I was talking to, he said he also addressed that this might actually be the last arcade game they can afford to bring over, because if this makes enough money, they might be able to bring more games out. Mm-hmm. Actually, he said that possibly Tekken 6 could be brought over to the States, but since it runs on the same type of system, it'll have to be international, just like Street Fighter 4.
Yeah.
The other part is they are going to run this on HD TV screens, and they're also pegging for bringing it as fast as they can as possible, because they're FedExing it from actually their manufacturer there in Asia. So they're expecting it just a week and a half from now, and it's supposed to hit different key target places in a few weeks besides Tokyo Game Show. And they actually found out more about info for us at the home version. Is that you know how Street Fighter works? You know, the 366 button system, joystick, etc. Actually, the characters that are unlockable, he said, are the ones that have been said thus far. And there's actually some more surprises for this version too. So, you know, because you've seen the trailers for it, right?
Yeah,
right, Bobby.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you remember from the Captivate 08 event? They had a demo video for the trailer. Of course, it has Akuma versus Fighting Ryu, and then Ken jumps in. And supposedly, there's a rumor that Chun-Li's on a train, and so is Cammy. There's like this drift part, and they find out all the different characters are involved. Actually, it turns out those characters are going to be in the game when we play there on the machine. So we'll get a first taste of what's to come for the console version, too.
That's cool.
Hell yeah.
So it's going to be in Tacoma in a week and a half. Can you say the name of the arcade for again?
It will be at Narrows Plaza in University Place, Washington.
Okay.
Well, it's in Tacoma. But it is one of the most well-known arcade distributors in one of the biggest bowling alleys. And it actually will be the only one here in Washington actually having it first. So just letting everyone know, if you do plan to come up to Washington, make sure to... ask for Masterman Vending, and they'll be sure to let you know about any upcoming dates for the game if you're planning to travel, or it could be at your home state pretty soon. You never know.
Excellent. Thank you for the news, Kadosho.
You're welcome. Have a good show.
Thank you. So now we're going to open up the phone lines in the Skype line. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 if you want to call in and talk about anything that we've been talking about tonight. So Street Fighter 4 news coming to Tacoma, Washington. And, you know, PAX is just a couple weeks away if you really think that you're going to have it enough time to drive up there if they don't actually bring it to PAX. There you go. But the first chance to play Street Fighter 4 outside of, you know, a gaming convention and stuff will be up there. I did not get a chance to play it myself. I think I actually figured it out. I think I walked into the Capcom booth about the same time that they opened it up for the public. I don't know if you remember that Capcom did this thing, like, we're going to open up our booth to the public for an hour. And I think that was the hour that I was actually in their booth, was when they had all of the fighting game enthusiasts in the booth kicking everybody's ass. And so I didn't actually get to sit down and play Street Fighter 4. So I haven't gotten a chance to play, so I don't know if it's any good or not. So we do have a call on the line here right now, so I'm going to go ahead and take it here. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Speaking of fighting game enthusiasts, this is Pen 15.
Pen 15. So what's on your mind this week?
You brought up some anger issues that I have.
I always bring up anger issues with you.
Well, it's what you do.
It's always
anger. You enrage for me, and then I have to call in and bother you.
Okay. So what are these anger issues this week?
Well, Well, it has to do with Soul Calibur and Street Fighter 4 in that a lot of people are sort of insulting Soul Calibur 4, which is fine. You know, it could not be your game. But the insults are sort of don't make any sense compared to the game that they like. For example, on a podcast I heard that they said that most fighting games don't evolve, you know, like Soul Calibur 4, which puzzled me because it actually does evolve, and that's what people have a hard time with because the gameplay actually changes. And they said, look at something like Street Fighter 4. It's totally different. And I'm like, it's exactly the same.
Well, you don't know. I mean, see, here's the thing, okay? And probably the people saying these on these other podcasts are kind of like me, that don't really go deep into these games. They go in for the button mashing and, the, you know, kind of the fun aspect of beating up on their friends, and then they move on. So to me, okay, because I haven't gone deep into the game, the kind of the outer fringes of Soul Calibur, you know, the part that I've gotten to, it's not really that much different between Soul Calibur on the Dreamcast and Soul Calibur 4 that I'm playing on the PS3, but that's because I don't go deep into the game.
But see, that's where you'd be mistaken.
Oh, I never said that I was correct. But
I don't mean you specifically. Yeah. I'm talking about the other podcasters. Mm-hmm. They are super hardcore fighting fans.
Oh, okay.
And they, it's sort of like they're so in love with the old franchise that they kind of blind themselves to it. Like they said that they didn't like the art style of Soul Calibur, that they didn't like the fact that all the characters, you know, had all this detail to them, which I thought, isn't character detail a good thing?
Yeah.
And yet they don't judge Street Fighter 4 for all the palette swaps that they do. Hey, guess what? Ryu's either going to be in white, yellow, blue, red, and that's it. And then there are characters that are copies of Ryu, which is Ken, Akuma, Dan, and it's sort of like, really? You don't see that? That's plainly obvious that there are a bunch of characters that play almost exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Yet, Soul Calibur, you're judging in this very strict way, yet you don't apply the same thing to Street Fighter 4, which just confuses me.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I haven't played that much Street Fighter 4, so I mean, it looks different. You know, but I haven't seen exactly how it plays. I mean, that's why I don't say things like that. But, you know, if other people do, and, you know, I'm not going to judge them because I don't know as much as they or you.
Yeah, because I'm specifically Brad Shoemaker. He was talking about how he played Street Fighter on another podcast, and then he said, yeah, something about it didn't feel right. Then a few weeks later, he got to play a newer, updated version, and he said, oh, this is a totally better version. They changed it so that it plays exactly like Street Fighter 2. And I'm like, that's not a good thing. Your game that's 15 years old should not play exactly the same. It should play different. It should feel different.
Well, I mean, some people say that they want the older stuff just with prettier graphics. I believe you've said that before in other game genres.
No, I've said I would like Killer Instinct on XBLA,
uh-huh.
And I've wanted games that have been overlooked to be updated.
But you want them to be playing just the same, just with better graphics.
Yes, like
Xenoblade. See, okay, so why is that okay, but then a beloved game, you don't want it to play the same as the beloved game? Why is this different?
We've all played it.
Why is this different?
We've all played it already.
Well, we've all played Killer Instinct, too.
I didn't say I wanted a visual update with Killer Instinct. I just said I wanted on XBLA with online.
Uh-huh.
I never said a visual update. Xenogears, I did say a visual update because some people can't get into 2D RPGs anymore, especially with the high bar that Final Fantasy set. But Xenogears, I'm like, not a lot of people played that, and it's a superior RPG to pretty much anything that I've played from Square. And to me, I think everyone should experience that game for the story and all the cool gameplay elements. But then you look at, they go to Street Fighter 4, which everyone has played Street Fighter 2 and all the dozens of remixes. Like, if this was a PC game, this would be nothing but a mod. The only thing that they changed were the visuals, which look ugly.
But that depends on who you talk to. That depends on who you talk to.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people say,
I understand that that's an opinion,
yeah,
but the fact that the gameplay is the same, that's not an opinion. Everyone who said, oh, it's just like Street Fighter 2, and I'm like, that's not good.
But that's what a lot of people wanted. And that's what a lot of people say. They're like, oh, why did you change the gameplay of this in the sequel? Why isn't it more like the original? I miss the original, blah, 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 blah. And then when they do that, then, you know, we got people going, why didn't you change the gameplay? Why aren't you trying to innovate? When anytime anybody tries to innovate and do something new, everybody's like, what are you doing? This isn't Street Fighter.
Which I totally understand that, except for the fact that you can still play Street Fighter 2 in a dozen different manners. I can play it on my PSP, I can play it on my Xbox 360, I can play it on my Xbox, PS2, I can play it on my GBA. I can play Street Fighter on my GBA. And you're telling me you're bringing that exact same gameplay to next generation and all you're doing is bringing like a visual update? Like, it's so lazy and it's so Capcom. Like, look at what they did with Resident Evil 4. They finally changed it, and it proved that if you change the gameplay and you change the mechanics and you update yourself, it will be loved by everyone if you do it right. But then they come and say, oh, look at Resident Evil 5. It's exactly the same. Now, just in Africa. You kill black people. What an update.
And some people prefer that.
And those people are wrong. You should always want game design to strive for a better experience that makes you closer to the game. Especially, like, a fighting game is a very, well, not for most people, because, like you said, you prefer to play more for fun and stuff like
right.
that. But for serious fighting fans, it's a very intimate experience because you control something on screen perfectly. Like, everything that happens on screen, you are at 100% control, which makes
I am not in control of me flailing backwards and not being able to block because some guy is doing a full combo on me. I'm sorry. I am not in control of that.
What do you mean?
When somebody's hitting me a whole lot and I can't hit back because they're so awesome and I suck so much, I am not in 100% control there. If
well,
I was in 100% control,
taking the time to learn.
If I was in 100% control, I would be invincible.
Well, that's very boastful of yourself because you're assuming that, you know, unless you are a martial artist in real life, I doubt that'd be true.
It's a video game. It's not about real life. It's about me being invincible, me being God.
Well, that's why we have God games, so that you can be God, literally.
Thanks for your call, Pen15. I appreciate it.
All right. Later, man.
So we'll take one more call. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. See, if I'm getting hit a lot and I'm hitting the punch button, I'm not punching back. I am reeling back, and that's not 100% control. I would be invincible if I had 100% control. And by the way, Xenogears I don't actually think is... it was 3D. It's got 3D elements and stuff to it. But it was kind of isometric. It was kind of weird. Tiger Claw says you can't play Street Fighter on a mobile phone. They haven't come up with it yet. Actually, there are fighting games on the mobile phone. I don't think it's Street Fighter specifically. And I did see like a Tekken version on like an N-Gage on the new N-Gage platform a couple years ago, and it actually looked kind of interesting. Game Guru says, hell, Mega Man 9 isn't updated a bit and people love it already. Which is actually true. Actually, I need to get some of that. And it's the Rob D's not here, but I actually like... When they say Mega Man 9's not updated a bit, they even didn't update like the way they did the music. They still followed all of the rules of creating NES music. And I actually have, like, I brought my microphone out and just held it up to the screen for about 3 or 4 minutes. Got, like, the intro song and some of the level music and stuff. And so I'll have to play that next week, probably. I'll make that the music break next week. Thank you for reminding me. Okay, so apparently we're not going to get any more calls tonight, so I'm going to go ahead and close the phones. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read some of these entrants. Now, 2 weeks ago, I put out a call for people to email me what they think Konami needs to do with Rock Revolution, which is their rhythm action game that they're coming out with, what they need to do to make it relevant. Basically, because essentially they're bringing Rock Revolution out mainly as a patent defense. Because Activision and Red Octane actually pay Konami licensing fees for the patents for drum and guitar video games. And because they created these back in the 90s, like they created Guitar Freaks and Drum Mania. Unfortunately, MTV and Harmonix are not paying Konami these licensing fees, so they are suing. And part of what they have to do in court is they have to prove that there's a reason that they're suing. So... what I ask is, you know, they're going to have to put a game out. What can they do to actually make the game relevant within rhythm action games? Make people actually want to play it rather than it just being a patent defense. So the first one I've got, this is from Birched, and I'm going to read, kind of skim through these and read them out. These are all the responses that I got. Simple have an amazing song list and come out with their own guitar. Who releases a game where a major part of the game cannot be played without buying a peripheral from their competitors? People already think Guitar Hero On Tour is a ripoff of Rock Band. This may be true, but at least it looks like a somewhat quality product with a few unique ideas. They see Rock Revolution is not even in the same ballpark as these two and the second ripoff of Rock Band. In my opinion, the only thing that would add to this game to make it worth playing is if they mailed you money after every song you played. On a more serious note, if the song list was long and amazing and the price of the game is super cheap. This game is a terrible imitator and a bad attempt to grab the remaining people who are not smart enough to buy Rock Band 2 or Guitar Hero, and he puts On Tour, but I know he means World Tour. Game Guru wrote, my idea for Rock Revolution to be relevant is to add support for DDR dance pads. Yes, Konami should essentially add dancing to their game in addition to singing, guitars, and drums. It would be a great way to stand out from Guitar Hero and Rock Band. Purple Montage says, Bobby, Rock Revolution needs good songs that aren't all covers, plus only 40 songs in the game. Give me a break. In conclusion, a music game is about the music. We want master tracks, and less than half the songs from Rock Band 2 and Guitar Hero World Tour is a disgrace. Mike Acosta says, first they need to use the scrolling pattern that Rock Band Guitar Hero uses, because that vertical scrolling just doesn't work. I know why they won't do that, since the game is too far along in development. They will have to do something interesting with their DLC at this point. It's the only thing that they could do that will set them apart. They could go the J-pop route or release songs from their existing franchises, maybe some Metal Gear or definitely some Castlevania songs, or just make all the DLC free. Lastly, they could have a really cheap price point with aggressive marketing and then charge for DLC. This is definitely an uphill battle for them. And then GokuSM22 says, I'm a first-time writer into your show and decided this contest was a perfect way to finally participate in the show after 2 years of listening. Anyway, what should they do? First of all, I believe that your idea of putting in a note chart for the less casual gamer would be perfect. The jam session recording alone does appeal enough to a music fan such as myself. Secondly, I think that they should scrap the vocalist feature using the built-in mic on the Nintendo DS. I've played several games on the DS that require the use of the microphone, and I think it's borderline insanity having a console which is meant to be played anywhere to make someone look ridiculous playing said game anywhere. It makes the gamer look like the crazy homeless guy in the corner wearing the tinfoil hat and speaking into a transistor radio. Finally, I would like to see some more realistic instruments come along. It seems like there would be much more mass appeal for a game that actually teaches you to play an instrument rather than continuing on with the almost cheesy peripherals they have now. Perhaps you would disagree with the idea of making a game that is more like piano practice than a fun time, but that is why it simply would be an optional feature later on. I am not personally much of a music fan, nor am I more than simply a casual fan of the rhythm action music-based games, but as a gamer, these changes seem the most relevant to the modern game enthusiast. So we're going to go ahead and check in with the show that comes on after us here on All Games Radio. That would be Orange Lounge Radio. Usually we check in with the folks over in Sacramento. Before we go into their show, just to see how they're doing, Sacramento, are you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Pretty good. So how about that braid? That's what everybody's talking about this week. I heard you talking about it earlier in the show. You didn't take the $15 plunge?
I haven't had the time. It's more a time thing right now.
It happens, Bobby. Yeah. It's funny because we do these gaming podcasts, so people think that we live, sleep, eat, breathe games. And to some extent, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I might choose a video game over a movie or over watching TV, but, you know, sometimes I got to go outside and be social and get a life. And, you know, so, yeah, I hear you, Bobby. Sometimes there's not enough time for games. But when you have time for the games, definitely check out Braid. At least I recommend it.
Yeah, I played through the demo.
Yeah. In studio, but I recommend it.
Yeah, I played through the demo a little bit. Actually solved that first puzzle, and it was really difficult to like solve that first puzzle and try to figure out what he was trying to get you to do.
Yeah, I don't want to give any spoilers because I don't want to ruin it for people, especially when the creator themselves is posting this fake walkthrough. But definitely there was an element to that first puzzle that when you figured it out, it was kind of... And I've noticed that a lot in Braid. Braid makes me feel stupid, okay, because I've only been able to get through... I just got through World 3 today, and I'm making my way through World 4. But there's been so many times in Braid, and this is the rewarding part, as it says in the walkthrough, that there's so many points where you're kind of like, okay. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what that one puzzle was at the beginning. I was like, oh, he's damned.
Well, to take this back to what Bobby was talking about before he came over to us.
Sure.
Rock Revolution, I was just informing our staff here of some interesting tidbits about Rock Revolution that are going to kind of shock people, I think, a little bit. For one, Rock Revolution, say if you were to buy the bundle, because, you know, like Rock Band, you have game only, and you have the special edition bundle. The bundle only comes with the drums.
Yeah.
That is it.
Yeah, they said that they were not creating their own guitar peripheral because there's enough of those on the market.
But that's retarded. I'm sorry. It's still retarded, though. I mean...
Now, see, I was playing Devil's Advocate with Loki, and I was saying, you know, the same thing is that me, myself, I never bought the Rock Band bundle because I'm not that interested in a drum kit. At least I wasn't at the time, and I don't want to buy it separately at this point now, but I don't know. If I actually thought I might really enjoy the game Rock Revolution, which I don't think I'm going to, I might have invested in that bundle. But it's kind of
I don't
a
think
point.
They're really trying too hard with this game, to be honest.
Do you think this is their tax?
I think the worse
the
I think the worse it does, the better an argument they have against this whole lawsuit against Harmonix and MTV.
If they purposely put out a crap game, then they're going to blame it on the other games being out there and being better.
Because, I mean, they're like, I remember when Bobby was saying, when he was interviewing the Konami rep there, he asked them about, you know, some of the Bomani music from, like, Guitar Freaks and stuff. I don't understand why they wouldn't throw it in there anyways, like, on top of everything. Because you don't have to make the whole game about it, but you could throw a few, like,
unlocks.
Retro songs, or
no,
just
unlocks.
A you know, few no, songs
throw,
in there, retro songs.
Fireball and,
yeah,
you know,
whatever.
Cosmic Cowgirl, right on time. Just give us, throw us a freaking bone here.
Throw some
You're
that aren't that
fan.
Obscure and just put them in there, and then that way the Konami, you know, Guitar Freaks fans may still pick it up. You know, it may drive some more sales, but really they don't want to try to do that because, once again, that would go against their argument against Harmonix.
Yeah, yeah.
I also think most of the longtime Bomani fans imported Guitar Freaks about 5 years ago, right, Dark Sakura? You got
Hell
all those
yeah.
songs. So, that's that. So, what do you think, Bobby? Bobby, are you going to be picking up Rock Revolution, or is this a pass?
I may have to try to find some way to pick it up. Just so I could actually be, you know, have it and say, yes, it actually does suck. Instead
Make an
of just,
informed decision.
Yeah, you know, and then I could tell other people, by the way, this sucks. But
that's fair. We should not base our opinion of a game. And granted, I am not as cool as you. I didn't get to go to E3, but I'm kind of basing my opinion off screenshots and videos, and I'll be the first to admit that's not a fair way to make an impression. But there's nothing that has me exactly bouncing up and down off the ceiling about it.
Well, let me put it this way. It's not like we don't know if it's going to sell well or not, but that's just like saying, you know, I see a plane on a tarmac with no wings. I'm not really sure if it's going to fly. So, you know, it's kind of like that. You can tell, but hey, you may be surprised. It may work after all.
There's a dark gray note on a black background.
On tonight's Orange Lounge Radio, more lovely analogies such as that one with all the current goings-on in the gaming world. And live chat and phone calls. Join us, won't you, tonight, right after Bobby's all done with his thing.
So, Rob, Braid, one out of how many stars out of 10?
I like to use the school system, the A through F. If you're going to make me do the 1 through 10 scale, I would say, honestly, and I hate how people always stack it towards the high end, so I know it sounds like that's what I'm doing, but this game is probably like a 9. Its only weakness probably being its length. I'm still hoping there's going to be some bit of downloadable content, but I do think it's worth the $15. You know what? I paid $10 to see The Dark Knight, and I was entertained for 2.5 hours. I've already sunk that much time into Braid. I'm feeling I'm getting my money's worth.
Excellent. So right. Have a good show tonight.
All right. Thank you, Bobby. Have a good one.
Little did Rob know that he actually just picked the winner of our Rock Revolution contest. I actually had sorted everybody here I had kind of rearranged everybody and put them in a random order and said, you know, if Rob said 1 or 2, it would be this person, 3 or 4, this person. But he said 9. So, Game Guru, congratulations on winning a pair of Rock Revolution iPod speakers from the Konami conference. Thank you, Rob, for helping us choose the winner. I will get with you, Game Guru, and get your mailing address and ship those out to you sometime this week. So that's it for this week. We will be back next week, Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio at allgames.com, so you can catch us live and interact with the show directly. And we'll be giving away a token. It's Audience Appreciation Month here at All Games Radio. We will be giving a token away to the chat room audience and the podcast audience. We have three tokens total to give away, and we're going to give away one next week to the chat room audience and tell you how you can win another one. This is for any of the prizes that are currently in the All Games Radio vault. So that's next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We will hopefully have our voicemail back up soon once I get time again, maybe after I play Braid a little bit. Or you can just email me a bumper. And if you email me a bumper, please don't put music behind it because I need to make sure that we can actually play the music without angering certain government organizations that we don't like. Or so you can email those to me, blackwolf@allgames.com, and you can join our forums over at allgames.com to take part in our community. However, we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. AGN, Chrisville1724, DC Nate, Hendricks, Tedekin, the Burning Paper Sun, Burr, Eswat, Footy Monster, Funnydale, Kitsune J, G, Lucerly, Mako, Refi, Seymour Booty, Shadows Liar, THK, Tiger Claw, Toshin, Wyland, Rage, Age, Outlaw, Act Def, Ake Ripper, Alphican Anagram, Alt, Amesitsuma, Ash Fox, Ob Tiger 3, Binary 667, Brad from Pod Culture. By the way, Pod Culture, it's a pretty cool sci-fi geek show. I think he also does the Geek Spin and stuff. So if you're like into sci-fi, like television and that whole culture, Pod Culture is actually a great show to listen to. Continuing on, Buckfush 187, Cedabria, Clef 5, Crispy, Dark AX, Dark Tetsuya, DeBlue Guy, Decipher, Detective Rocco, DJ Dark Knight, D-Man, DMN, Ducati 916, SPS, Engda 59, Firecube, Game Guru, congratulations, Gold Anthro, GS68, Havoc 978, Hecht, Hey Jude, Hitstun, Hostile One, Interlogic, Invader Boy 71, J Irv, Johnny 5, JP the Prodigy, Justin Sane, Kadosho, Kaijudo, Kells, Kulex, El Frost, Mecha, Melted General, Necromoss, New Shiny CD, Nick Ferg, Nutman, Outrage, Pen 15, whose gamertag is Raging Ninja. He wanted you to know that. Pimp Method, Purple Montage, Prowler 37, Punchy, Sky, SSJ 100 Matt, Sub-Z, Sully 907, Sunbun, TDB30, TM95, Two Crazy Gamers, VXJSnixV, Warham, What Up G, Wilcon, Xenocore is back, and Zappy. So that's it for the show this week. I will see you next week. And remember, this Thursday, Gamapalooza over Platform Nation's charity event. So go take part in that if you want. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.